Mashville Live is live here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. We got a crowd of Preds fans here who really wanted their hockey fix during the Olympic break. And here we are. Let's clap it up for our crowd tonight.
Yeah.
My name is Max Herz from Preds Radio, joined by my special co-host tonight. We don't normally get this guy on Smashville Live. So let's hear it from Purchase, New York, USA. Willie Donick from Preds TV is here. Hi, Willie.
Hey, the Purchase, New York reference, that's going way back.
Well, we always
that's
like
not
to
my
tell,
high school, but
we like to tell everybody where our players are from here on Smashville Live. And should I have said Winter Park, Florida?
Well,
instead?
You could have. It was
you have
a
options.
Split. It was a split, almost half and half, really, between Purchase and. If we're being technical, the town I lived in was Maitland. I went to high school in Winter Park. So
okay, well, I got it right, though.
You got it right. Let's go Purchase, New York. That's good.
And let's bring on tonight's guest here on Smashville Live from Dauphin, Manitoba, Canada, the general manager of your Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, is here on Smashville Live.
All right. I like the entrance, too. Is this how you always do this, Max? Do you bring the guest in from the...
You heard boos?
I didn't hear any boos.
Trotsy says he heard. I did not hear a single boo tonight here in Smashville Live. Hi, Barry.
How are you?
It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've driven up to Brentwood at this time of day.
It takes a little longer than it used to, right?
Yeah. I used to live down the road, not too far. Just across the highway.
Well, we're glad you survived the traffic to make it to us.
Yeah, no. It was good.
It's been a while since we've seen your face and seen the Preds, but we've been watching a ton of Olympic puck, and what a day it was today. Three quarterfinal games went to overtime.
It was a great day for hockey, really. If you're any kind of a hockey fan, it was really great. Every one of them, I look at the 3-on-3 overtime at the Olympics. I wonder if that's something that us at the NHL level look at, because – you know, overtime is so tense. I mean, the great thing about being in those situations, I was actually nervous for all those guys. And when you're on the bench and playing, I don't know if you're that nervous. You're wound up and you're focused, but I don't know if you're that nervous. So it was good.
When you say that, are you saying just play the 3-on-3 until somebody scores and not play for the shootout? Like some teams, maybe towards the end of a 3-on-3, they're saying, okay, if we go to the shootout, we're okay.
Yeah, well, I might have been thinking even in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, have it like that. Okay.
I thought it was interesting because they, in this round anyways, they go 10 minutes 3-on-3, and then they go to shootout. In the finals, you just keep playing 3-on-3 till someone scores.
Okay.
That might be something that the NHL will at least bring it up in our general manager's meeting. Maybe it's 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 for, longer periods or something like that.
You're a fan of the game just like all of us, and this just happened, so I don't know how much research you could do, but imagine three game sevens in a Stanley Cup playoff series all on the same day go to overtime. I don't know if that's ever happened. Maybe once. I mean, the game's been playing a long time. But three winner-take-all games all going to overtime with what's at stake there. That might be the best day of hockey. You put it up there with almost anything.
Yeah, really. I think there probably was a game sevens, three of them, maybe in a certain round, the semifinal round, but they're never played on the same day.
On the same day, yeah.
But it was pretty special today just watching it. And obviously, when you're talking about countries, not necessarily cities or regions, it's pretty impactful. And it was a great day for the game and a great day to be a hockey fan. And we haven't had NHL hockey for a couple of weeks, so that was a great fix.
All the best players in the world, right in the middle of
absolutely.
It, too. And we've had Preds over there. We've got the Finland Preds advancing to the semifinals. UC Saros, Erik Haula, and Finland came from behind to beat Roman Josi in Switzerland in overtime. It's like seeing your kids fight, right? Our guys go at it over there?
I don't know who to cheer for when they're playing against each other, but I was really proud of all. I'm proud of all of them just to be on the Olympic teams. But I was really, I was sort of cheering for Switzerland as the underdog. because they're not quite that the Swedes or the Finns or Canada, U.S. They're sort of that underdog team. And I just thought Roman Josi, you're seeing Roman, I would say, after the first 20 games because he was injured a little bit early in the year and he came back. I think he's been maybe one or two of the best defensemen on the planet right now. And at the Olympic Games, especially for Switzerland, he was all that. So I was really happy for Roman, especially that he's not 25 anymore. He's a little older, but he's playing like a 25-year-old. And, you know, I thought in this tournament, Juice has gotten so much, you know, he'll have he's almost like playing for the Preds. They get down two and then they come back.
He's used to it.
But I thought he held a fort, and he's been getting better as the tournament has gone on, and he's very capable as we know. And I thought Eric Halla has raised his game to a level where you really you notice him and having some impact. So on that standpoint, and then I thought I've been defending Philip Forsberg from Team Sweden, and I was wondering about sometimes I said I'm making assumptions. I don't know anything. I haven't talked to Philip. And all that. Him being starting out as the 13th forward. Well, Team Sweden must have one hell of a team for him to be the 13th forward. But and then you're watching him. He's playing 3-on-3 in a final game, and he's playing on one of the big lines and having impact. And you know, Jesper Bratt, who was a healthy scratch the other day, is playing 3-on-3 in overtime. So I don't know what's happening in Team Sweden behind
the
bench.
They're going to have some whatever sports talk shows are over there in Sweden.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot to discuss.
I'm making some assumptions that sometimes as coaches we take ourselves too seriously and the egos get too big. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
I was picturing a 3-on-3 today because we can envision some great moments that Roman has had in the 3-on-3. And I was thinking a Roman versus Juuse Saros 2-on-1 or breakaway, or when Roman just dips in from the blue line, circles around. And I was thinking that's going to happen here. Somebody, like for a Predator fan, that's a big conflict there.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but
it's going to happen, especially when you're going country against country. So. You know, it was good. It was great. It was great theater today.
What'd you think of Canada with all the pressure? And they were maybe one shift away from having to pull the goalie and really have to gamble just to tie it, and then they got the great tip. But were you surprised at how tough that game was for them?
No. Not at all. I haven't been surprised at how tough all the games have been. I mean, a team like Slovakia, when you go over there, they play a different type of game. They will do different things. They play within their country, and they play a little bit different. You know, in the National Hockey League, we'll play certain systems, and they're probably a little more aggressive. We're a little more physical. We'll get on the forecheck a little bit more and to create some turnovers. They're more patient. They play a little bit of chess, and I call spacing. We're more of a push forward spacing, be it 1-2-2 or 1-1-3, whatever system we play, they will tend to sometimes just back up, and they'll try to really defend their blue line a little bit more. And so you think you got all this room, you're building all this speed, and then all of a sudden they just sort of you hit a wall, and now you're trying to do certain things. You turn pucks over, and they sort of counter a little bit more, and they can be really frustrating to play against. And you can say what you want. When you're playing in the National Hockey League and you're playing in the best league in the world against the best players, you know, sometimes you look across and you see someone that you go, I don't know this guy. I've never heard of him before. And you can say what you want, but there's maybe not as much respect. And so when you're coming through the neutral zone and, oh, I'm going to dangle this guy, the guy still is a pretty good hockey player. He's playing in the Olympics. And all of a sudden they counter on you, and you find yourself in a real tough position. So, it's keeping the focus of not looking at who you're playing against. It's the collective group can be very good over there, even if you don't recognize a lot of the names.
We're going to take a break so Predators general manager Barry Trotz can sign some autographs and take some pictures for fans. And Barry, we have a lot of fans who have made it out here tonight who want to see you.
I appreciate it.
They've got some good vintage. Look, they have the original jerseys on in some of these cases. They've got a picture from the Grand Ole Opry. You'll remember this one from way back. You've seen that a few times.
The year one Preds inaugural team poster has made it, and one of our fans here, Kim, has laminated it. She's really made it last. So,
sure.
All right, Kim's first up, and then plenty of autographs for Barry Trotz. You're listening to Smashville Live. We are presented by Gary Force Acura here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria with Predators General Manager Barry Trotz here on your home for Preds hockey, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are back at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria with a great crowd of Preds fans and Predators General Manager Barry Trotz, who just signed some great autographs. We have some great Trotzy collectibles in the building, and we're going to shout out Preds Radio superfan Drew, who had a Barry Trotz Baltimore Skipjacks AHL card from 1996, we think.
Yeah, that was probably my best suit, little hair.
Hair looks great.
The hair is actually black.
You didn't look happy, though. You were leaving the ice maybe after a loss?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably a lost face, yeah.
I wonder, is there a Kenny Albert card in that same set? Wasn't he the play-by-play guy for the
Kenny
Baltimore
Albert,
Skipjacks?
Kenny Albert was my roommate 1 year, and then I got promoted to the head coach, and then the minors, the head coach actually gets his own room. And when you're assistant coach, you have to share with the we could have been roommates, Willie, in the minors.
Could have been, yeah.
Hey?
Now, according to Kenny, though, you played a few pranks on him.
I did.
You had to teach him the ropes a little bit.
I did. Kenny was pretty green. And
how old would Kenny have been back then?
Oh, God.
Mid-20s?
Right out of college, pretty
much? He would have been in the mid-20s. But, you know, he was really, really prepared. Obviously, he's always wanted to do that. That's been something that I think was in his blood. He was always prepared. I saw him always do his notes. He still does them the same way as he did way back when. And he had just a great brain for remembering facts and you know, we didn't have internet the way we do now. But getting and really doing his homework for these facts that would be very hard to find now, I guess. And he had some great stories. But what I liked about Kenny is that he was very naive. He was trying to be Mr. Proper and all that.
Right.
And then when you're riding the buses in the minors and with coaches and players and that, you have to loosen up a little bit. So we played some pranks on him a little bit. He was my roommate. So I know one time he'll tell the story that we went up to Canada in the Maritimes, and it was Cape Breton, and I happened to know the security guy from the Washington Capitals. We were part of the Caps organization way back when, and I talked to them, and he says, "Oh, you're heading up. Can you take something for me?" And I said, "Absolutely," with the security guy to take home to his hometown in Cape Breton. And I said, "Well, if I'm going to do a favor for you, can you do me a favor?" And he goes, "Sure." And I said, "Do you know anybody in the, you know, security up there or the RCMP?" And he goes, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "Well, we're flying up there, and maybe we can get someone thrown in jail." And so we had Kenny. I made sure that, you know, as assistant, we'd be, you know, let the players go through immigration up there, and then I went through, and I made Kenny go behind me for, you know, and Kenny, you know, they started asking him questions. They start going through his bags, and they said, "What is this?" And he goes, "That's not mine." And he goes, "Well, it doesn't look like this is a legal substance." And so he got thrown in jail for a bit, and obviously we didn't have cell phones back there, so he couldn't phone us. So we went to the hotel. And he had to make one phone call, so he phoned the hotel, and I said, "Where are you?" I said, "We waited, but you didn't show up." And they said that you were being questioned, so they wouldn't tell me why. What's going on? And he goes, "Well, they threw me in jail and all this." So I started laughing. He goes, "You did it, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." So we had him thrown in jail. And another story I had with Kenny that we always laugh about. We were in the minors. We were playing. I think we were in like Adirondack, and and we're driving through a snowstorm, and we arrived in Utica, New York.
Right.
And I think it was Hojo's, and you know, it's the, you know, you get your key at the front, and you got the big tag, and we walked to the room, and it's down, you know, it's outside.
Yeah, you're coming and straight in from the outside.
Yeah,
there's no lobby.
And we put the key in, and we can't get in. There's something holding the door, and then finally we just, you know, sort of plow through it and find out we have a snowbank in our room. So we go to the front desk, and we say, you know, can we get another room? Because we have a big snowbank. There's, you know, a gap under our door. That all the snow's coming in. It's freezing cold in there. There's ice on the walls and everything. And the guy said, no, we don't have any more rooms. You can stay in the lobby if you want. And I'm like, I'm not staying in the lobby. It was shady enough back then. I think I think the rooms were about $18 a night at the time. And there was no way I was staying there, and either was Kenny. So I said, okay, let's go back to the room, and we'll put a towel, get the snow out, and we did that. And we were hoping the room would, you know, heat up, and, you know, we had sweatsuits and our jackets on, and all the blankets we could find were rolled up in separate beds, because you had...
Thankfully.
So the lights are out, and I'm about to fall asleep, and he can't remember this. I remember this because Kenny goes, I am so cold. And I said, so am I, but there's no way in hell you're coming over here.
Not going to have a plane's transit on.
No, we're not going to have any of that. Yeah. There's no cuddling. We're going to stay apart here.
That's awesome.
Life on the road in the minors. Woo.
Barry Trotz is our guest here on Smashville Live, presented by Gary Force Acura, a proud sponsor of your Nashville Predators. And Barry, it already feels like it was a while ago, but just a couple weeks ago, we had a press conference, and you announced your intentions to retire as Preds GM, and it was a really emotional day for everybody. So, was it 2 weeks ago? It feels like it was a year ago already.
Yeah, it feels like a year, but yeah, it was probably about 2 weeks.
Yeah. What sticks with you most from that day when you let everybody know of your intentions?
Well, I think, you know, I there's a couple things before I go into my emotions. You know, there's a number of things. I wasn't very healthy last year. I had, a lot of people don't know, I had like 5 eye surgeries. I had 2 hospital stays. Even you guys didn't even know a lot of that.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a real tough year. And then, you know, I had some family things with my father and my wife's mom back in Canada. It's not easy where they lived for us to get there. And then, you know, when I signed on to do this job a few years ago, I said to ownership, I will let you know that my intentions, if I get to the end of the contract, if I go further, or you know, as soon as I know what my end date is, I will let you know. And I it really hit me when I went to Sweden. Actually, we went over to Sweden to play in the Global Series game against the Penguins. We had a couple days off, and it actually is my granddaughter's 5th birthday. And they happen to be in Spain with the, they do world school. So they travel, and they live in different areas of the world. They're going to Japan in September.
Wow.
And it was her 5th birthday. It just happened that I was in Stockholm. We had some days back. And I said, you know what, we're not even going to be on the ice for a couple days. I'm going to go for her 5th birthday in Spain. And so I traveled from Stockholm to Spain, southern Spain, spent about 36 hours, my granddaughter's 5th birthday. And then on the way back, it sort of clicked into me a little bit it was her 5th birthday. It was the only second time that I've been around for her birthdays. And that sort of started setting in even more with me, and then all the other stuff that comes along with that. So that's when I really, really started thinking about it. And then when I met with Bill Haslam on, you know, as I do on a pretty regular basis, early December, I said, you know, Bill, I've really been thinking about this hard. I haven't even told my family yet, but I'm going to tell you, because I'm going to probably just go to the end of my contract, and then I'm going to retire. And we talked about it, you know, when do you do it? In this business, a lot of things is June 30th. And I said, you know, usually they look at it in the spring. But I said, what I'm finding out, and you see it all the time, social media, you guys are so good at finding all the rumors. No one can keep their mouth shut anymore. It's not, it's not like the old days where, you know, people would actually keep a secret. It's actually okay to, you know, tell other people when people ask you not to, you know, keep it a secret. No one does it anymore. So I just said, Bill, you know, if you start asking people, you know, and we start looking for my replacement, because replacement might be within, you know, our own doors. You know, there's going to be a lot of rumors starting.
Yeah.
So
it could leak.
Maybe let's do something a little untraditional and just say, you know, this is what we're going to do. And this is, I'm giving myself an end date. And so we did that and caught a lot of people off guard. I didn't really tell my own family till about 48 hours before, because I didn't want anybody just letting it out. And it's, you know, we have to tell some of the owners, and it actually did get out a little bit the night before, and we were able to keep it under wraps. And it was from a very small group. So it's just the way the world works now.
When your peers around the league, other fellow general managers, maybe coaches, maybe that didn't know, got the word, what was maybe the most interesting call that you got from?
Well, I got a lot of calls from a lot of my great friends and a lot of my colleagues. And the first thing was, are you okay? Obviously, yeah. we've had a lot of a number of things that happened in this business and people that we all know. And are you okay? Is this a health-related thing? That was number one. Number two, are you getting back coaching? Because believe it or not, in this job, I've been asked a couple times by teams just casually, would you go back coaching? And they were sort of looking for coaches. So I said no. I said, I'm when I say I'm going to do something, if you know me, I usually probably stick with it and go with it. So I said, no, I made a decision to quit coaching and go in another direction. And no, this is not health related. This is not coaching related. This is family related. It's, I know that this job is very demanding. It's 365 days. You're never really away from your phone. You're never really away where you can, you know, you can work remotely a little bit, but you're never really away, and you have to be present. I want to be present for my
own family.
You think
that's even more so in GM than a coach?
Yeah.
That factor where somebody's always texting you, always calling you about something?
And it's, yeah, there is. And if you think about it, as in coaching, it's, I would say you're in a nine alarm fire for 9 or 10 months.
Right.
Start at training camp. Whenever the season ends, at playoffs, whatever, then you are able to decompress and you can recharge. In this job, I found that you're not in a 9-bell alarm fire.
Yeah.
You're just in a constant burn, and when the season ends, it just starts. You know, and now you got the draft. You're doing scouting. I found out in this job, you can travel about the same as you did as a coach, but if you're going to Milwaukee, you're going to governor's meetings, you're going to GM meetings, you're scouting some of the prospects, you're going to Milwaukee, you're staying, we travel with the team, I'm usually with the team, and if I'm not with the team, I'm in Milwaukee or governor's meeting or whatever. I found out I was traveling even more, and then you put on the strains of my own family. My father, who's in a facility, and my wife, who's in a facility, and you got children that are not necessarily living in Nashville, grandchildren. I was traveling twice as much, you know.
So it's even more coordination.
Yeah,
than before.
And then you're not as present either. You're not as present with your own family because you're always, you know. I remember, you know. Even at Christmas, you know, you got a couple of days off, but you're still getting phone calls on, you know, Christmas Day. You're getting phone call. Hey, I was thinking about this right after. Would you do this? You know, so you're never ever off. And to me, I felt that that was something that I needed to just, I had to devote that to my family. I have a lot of people know I have a 25-year-old special needs son. My wife is, you know, she's my age. And, you know, she's now, she's very healthy, all that, but she's my age. And our son's 25. So I just want to help her out. There's a little bit of what we'll call guilt or whatever, because if you're in this business, your wife has to do a lot of heavy lifting. And I'm blessed that my wife has done a lot of heavy lifting to allow me to do what I've been able to do for, you know, I've been in this, in the NHL for over 25 years, but in pro hockey, it's close to 40. And so, you know, I've got children that are in their 30s now, and there's a lot of stuff that I've missed. So before I reach a point where I can't do stuff, I want to be able to do that with either the family, stuff that I want to do for myself that I never got to do in my lifetime yet. So those are those things that really came to light. And it was an emotional day, because you can tell your friends and family, but when you have to announce it to the world, it gets a little bit more emotional. I almost made it through, but it gets a little more real and a little more emotional. So that was a good day and a emotional day, but also a little bit of a liberating day. Like, you guys know, you see me around the rink all the time, and I'm all in. I'm all in, and I'm going to be all in with this team. I'm going to have to make, you know, I'm going to have to make some hard decisions, you know, in the next couple of weeks. If we are where we are right now, you know, we're going to continue to build a young core. The core is, you know, but if we can get close, then we'll go in a different direction. But right now we're not in the playoffs and trying to hang on a little bit. So we've done a lot of good things since we've been here. You know, the cupboards are now pretty full. But when you draft a player at 18, it's add 4 years to that before he starts to have impact. So I tried to, you know, that's why I went to free agency, to sort of help the Yossis and the Saroses and the Forsbergs, so that we can buy some time with our team and our young prospects, and have good mentors for those kids when they do arrive here, when those guys are, you know, our older core is aged.
Well, we commend your decision, and I think the time with the family is going to be worth it. So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry Trotz is our guest, Predators general manager. We've got fans waiting for more autographs and pictures with the retiring Predators GM on the show. We are presented by Gary Force Acura, a proud sponsor of your Nashville Predators. And we also want to let you guys know that our friends at Law Tigers are here tonight in this corner. To my right, your left, Davin and Tori are here. You can get some prizes for them, and you can also enter to win the Nashville Predators custom one-of-a-kind autographed motorcycle at predatorsbike.com. So go see Davin and Tori. The motorcycle is here, and if you behave, you might get to see it here on Smashville Live with Barry Trotz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have a big crowd of Preds fans here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. My name is Max Herz from Preds Radio, along with Willie Donick from Preds TV. And Predators general manager Barry Trotz is our guest, signing a lot of autographs and taking a lot of pictures. Tonight's show is presented by Gary Force Acura, a proud sponsor of your Nashville Predators. And after this, we only have two of these shows left the whole season. Sad to say, our next one is 5 weeks from tonight on Wednesday night, March 25th at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. So it's once we get back, only 25 games left,
that's
only
it.
11 home games left.
I think 25 games in 27 days, maybe?
Basically.
It's a lot of games. That's an exaggeration, but it is every other night, it seems like.
Well, sprint. Obviously with the Olympic schedule and then us going to Sweden, it's been a sort of condensed year, but it's going to be fun.
Barry Trotz is our guest here on Smashville Live, and Barry, it's always fun when we get a chance to go down memory lane with you, and we've, like you said, got lots of year one Preds jerseys in the crowd. You signed the picture of team number one at the Opry, and as we talked about, you've had so much perspective now as you decide you're retiring from the general manager position. What is it like for you to kind of step back and think about the fact that you are connected to every single person, really, who's ever been here?
Well, I was on loan for about 9 years, so I wouldn't say every person, but the great thing about this organization is that there is a connection, there is a Smashville, there is a loyalty factor when it comes to the city and the fans and the people that work. You know, you see so many people that work in the building, around the building, that have been around for a long time, which you don't see a lot in other places, which makes it really special, and there's a connection. And it still has that small town feel, even though we're not a small town anymore. It's been a wonderful experience, and you know, the growth of the team, the city. This team, I remember the early days when honestly I didn't think we were going to make it. Let's just call it what it was. You know, on and off the ice, we were limited in so many ways. And it's sort of liberating now that you know, with Bill Haslam coming in, and even the previous ownership, they took it to another level. They get a lot of credit for saving the Preds from leaving, going to Hamilton. If you've ever been in Hamilton, what a blessing that is to be in Nashville. The Hammer is a great city, but it's no Nashville. I'll put it that way. But it's changed so much. Now this team's going to be a force in the future, and that's part of my job is to make sure that it will be a force in the future.
You know, it's so interesting to think back all those years that you were the coach, until it, even after the salary cap was put in, Nashville for a while still was not able to spend to the cap ceiling, like we almost take for granted now.
Yeah.
Because of the ownership and the way the city has grown, the fan base has grown. And you used to talk about all the time, you need that second generation of fans to really give you the layers of fan bases. And it's been awesome to watch. But when you look back, when you were coaching the underdogs a lot, where do you think it made you a better coach?
Well, it made me a better coach in a lot of ways, because you have to find ways to sell it. How you know, we'd line up. A good example is you're playing the Detroit Red Wings. They got Fedorov and Shanahan and Iserman, and you just go down with Chilios and all that. Yeah. And I'm sending out Marion Cesar and
Bubba Baron's way.
Yeah, and you're going, these guys couldn't even make their team, and we're expected to try to find a way to win. And what I thought was that this team always looked at it as, you know, we are a little bit of an underdog, and you know, we'll find ways. And the one thing that we always talked about, let's not make any excuses that we don't have the talent, or we don't have the funds to get players, or we don't have this or that. Let's just go out and leave it on there. So that, and we had tight teams. Our teams were close. They had fun. I the one thing that I wanted to do was try to make it as fun as it could be, even though the environment wasn't, we weren't winning a lot of games, but make it fun for them. And what happened is guys like Scott Walker, who were guys that were in the stands and other teams, came on our team and became really good players. You look at, you know, guys like Vitaly Yachmanev the first year. I mean, no one knew who he was, and he was one of the best penalty killers I've ever coached. And you started developing those type of guys, you know, and then you get your young guys, your draft choices, the David Legg ones, the Scotty Hartnell. Those guys gave us some personality. They were the first true Preds. And then just grew. And I remember coming in, you know, we didn't make the playoffs. I'd go work with Team Canada at the World Championships, and I'd land, and David would come in and say, you know, I got to meet with you. And you'd go in there and he'd say, you know, hey, we've got to get rid of three of our better players because we can't afford them. You know, I remember the the payroll for our first playoff series with Detroit, they were like $72 million and we were 13.
Right. Pre-salary cap, that was...
Pre-salary yeah. cap. And then I remember even when the salary cap came in, we were struggling. And, you know, a lot of people, I give a lot of credit to David and the ownership. They, you know, we got all the revenue sharing that we could from the league. We got the max because we weren't pulling in enough. And we'd have to let people go that we couldn't afford all the time. And we made it work. And we're able to become relevant. And you know, to a point where, you know, I remember Steve Sullivan, the one year that we had got Steve Sullivan, we were starting to get a little bit of traction, you know, with some of the older players, and Steve hurt his back. But we never put him on long-term IR because we had to make the salary cap floor.
Right.
So he was always on our roster for the whole time for his full salary because we couldn't put him on the, you know.
But you got to a point where you were still winning a lot of games,
yep,
despite having some of those things that would hamstring you otherwise. And so that was rewarding. And the one thing you mentioned the first playoff series where you played the Red Wings, and the Red Wings were in your division. They were constantly a source. But beating them a few years later in 2012, it wasn't the first playoff series you ever won. But beating them, I always feel like was a extremely special moment for you and for the organization.
It was sort of our arrival. It was like, okay, we're here to stay. When we beat the Red Wings, and they had a 20-year run pretty well, and they were starting to age out. But what it was is what I'm trying to do right now in the future with, you know, drafting and trying to stockpile is, it was the group of young core. It was Shea Weber, it was Hamhuis, it was Suter, it was that group of next group of young Pekka-Rinne,
right,
that group that became our young core that beat the Red Wings. And then we became pretty relevant after that. You know, we became more of a force. We're in the playoffs every year, and we were dangerous. We were just in a division like we are right now with Detroit. Was very good for a long time, and then it flipped over to Chicago, who became a very, very good team by drafting, you know, first and second overall picks, getting Patrick Kane, Taves, that whole crew, and really crop dusting the draft every year for about 4 or 5 years in a row, and they became a force, and they won 3 cups.
Going down Preds memory lane with Barry Trotz, Preds general manager. We will take your fan questions for Barry Trotz coming up next as we finish up the show. This is Smashville Live presented by Gary Force Acura, proud sponsor of your Nashville Predators here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We got a great crowd of Preds fans here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. Let's hear it one more time for Predators general manager Barry Trotz, who is with us on the show.
I just want to clap for everybody who's taking their time to come tonight. That's wonderful. That's why we have the best fans. You guys are always the best. There's a community in Nashville, and Smashville is wonderful. It's not like this everywhere. It really isn't. And we have a special community in Smashville.
Well said, and your fingerprints are all over it, Barry, so it goes both ways. Speaking of day one institutions, Willie Donick is in the crowd, and he is with a first-time fan who has never heard of the Predators before, and this young man would like to ask a question.
I have to unmute myself. I acted like a rookie. I was flashing back. We were talking about all these old shows. I was the guy that did this role for the old Drake Barahowski show the first couple of years,
yeah,
where Plaz was the host, and I was the guy that had to get questions from the audience. We have a question from a guy here that might know a thing or two about
He might have some insight on this.
Everybody welcome Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators here. All right.
Legendary Pete Weber, by the way.
Now, Pete, we were going down.
You were the voice of the Preds for so long. I mean, you really were. So, and I will tell you this with Pete. I'm jumping in. Pete knows... You'll ask him the most random thing about sports, and you're like, you know, who scored the winning run on 1956 World Series? And you're going, he'll never know. And he'll just blurt it out, and then we're like, damn it, he knows it.
Trotsky, I wanted to see if you could remind the people what it was like those early years and going into Little Rock, Arkansas, and playing the first pro hockey game in that state. What we saw that night in that old barn was classic.
It was. So we didn't want to play any of the preseason games in Nashville. So we played in Huntsville. We played in Little Rock, Arkansas. We were like a traveling gypsies, really. And we went to Little Rock, and the ice wasn't great. We're playing the Dallas Stars, I believe. And it ended up being a tie game. And they had this event where they, when you walked in, you could sign your name and your address and all that, and you could make a paper airplane. And at the end of the game, the closest one to center ice with your paper airplane would win this big giant bass boat, if I think it was a bass boat. And tie game, and we're about to go to overtime, and all of a sudden the plane started flying. And all of a sudden there's like 3,000-4,000 paper airplanes in there, and we're looking at each bench and like, we're not going to play the overtime. So, because no one knew in Little Rock, Arkansas, they did not know that there was an overtime, and we were going to do that. But so we just sort of looked at each other, and you know, it wasn't great ice conditions. It wasn't what you'd think, but that'll go down in one of my memory banks as a fun night where we just looked at each other and go, oh, it's over.
Now, did either you or Crispy throw a paper airplane at any point, Pete, to try to win it?
Crispy wanted to, but he said, how am I going to get that boat back home on the charter?
And there you go. That's
he could have boated back home.
Good stuff.
Good question, Pete.
All right. You got it going. Any more questions, Sue? Just raise your hand. I'll come to you.
We have time for maybe one or two more questions.
I don't think I'll be able to follow up to that guy, but an amazing question. Here's another one kind of related to that. You've been here since day one with the Preds, including the preseason games before the regular season game you just talked about. You're here now. You're going to be here through June of 2027, right? At least
yes.
As an advisor.
Yep.
Hey, we want you here longer. We want you to be an advisor forever.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, like, the question is, what do you see along that front? Are you, I mean, that's kind of out there a couple of years, but we want to encourage you to be here. We love you. We appreciate everything you've done for the franchise, and we're only good fans because you've taught us the game, and you've led us all the way, and you've been fantastic for the franchise.
Well, that's very kind. That warms my heart. I was a Pred when I wasn't here. I watched the Preds. I live here. This is my home. I'm from Dauphin, Manitoba. If you've been in Dauphin, Manitoba, it's way up there in north of Winnipeg. It's a great little place in the summer. All 2 weeks of it, and then, but Nashville became my home. I was in my hometown, maybe 10 years, and then went away to play junior hockey and the things that you do in Canada, and I moved to Nashville in 97, and since then, I've always had a residence here for the most part. I've owned properties here. Most of my kids live here, and I have all my best friends here. Go on vacations with all my friends here, and I've been very fortunate to be a part of this community, and I'm not leaving. If I'm not in an advisor role, I will be in the stands having a beer with some of you guys and guys and women out there, and enjoying the Preds and being a part of the alumni and all that. So. That is something that won't change. I'm a Nashvillian. I'm a Nashville Predator for life.
Well, and we've got one more question.
All the way in the back.
Way, way, way,
way
back.
All right. Now tell Barry your name and what your question is. And how old are you?
My name is Duncan. I'm 7. And my question is, what's your favorite memory with the Predators?
One question, Duncan.
I don't know if I have one. There's so many. I could go year by year and give you different things. Some of my favorite memories are obviously the first time I stepped on the bench in Nashville. It's funny. This thought went through my head. I used to jump. Anybody who watched me when I coached here, I'd go on the bench with 4 seconds to go on the clock. And I did that as a little bit of a tribute to my 4 children. I had 3 children at the time, but I usually the 4-second mark was when I'd go on the bench. And 2 minutes and 4 seconds was always the number. And I did it for the kids. But I remember opening night, standing on the bench and going to myself, going, I finally made it to the National Hockey League. I just want to make it through the year as a coach in the National Hockey League. And lo and behold, I was given the best job as an NHL coach. Is not only did I coach through that year, I got to coach for 15 years. And my kids started at Crockett Elementary. And they graduated from Belmont University. Very few coaches can say that in today's day and age. And my family grew up here. I grew up. And that my best memory is the ability to be here for 15 years as a coach.
Great stuff. Let's hear it for Barry Trotz, everybody. A great one to end on. Barry, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And thank everyone for coming out tonight. That's very blessed that you take the time.
Tonight's show has been presented by Gary Force Acura, a proud sponsor of their Nashville Predators. Our next show is 5 weeks from tonight, a long time from now. Preds will be busy. We'll see you at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue with Preds players on Wednesday night, March 25th. Big thank you to Chad Myers and Cliff McCardle and our entire production staff here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. This has been Smashville Live. Vanderbilt basketball is coming your way next at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.